And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
An NHS chief executive warned that equality and diversity takes precedence over religious beliefs after a patient complained about a Catholic chaplain discussing same-sex relationships. The Reverend Dr. Patrick Pulicino, 73, is taking legal action against an NHS trust after he claims he was ousted for answering a hospital patient's questions about the church's teaching on marriage. The patient, who is in a same-sex relationship, asked the priest for his opinion on marrying his partner. Reverend Pulicino responded, "What do you think God would say to you about this?" After the patient made a complaint about his comments, Reverend Pulicino, who was a temporary member of staff at South West London and St George's Mental Health NHS Trust, had his contract terminated while he was on annual leave in January 2020 due to budgetary constraint. The hospital chaplain is now pursuing a claim against the trust for harassment, religious discrimination, and victimisation against the trust. The trial is set to take place in July at Croydon Employment Tribunal. Reverend Pulicino, who was ordained as a Catholic priest in 2019 and who is being supported by the Christian Legal Centre, said, "I am determined to seek justice in this case, as how I was treated was unacceptable. To see in black and white what my Christian beliefs in marriage that have been taught for thousands of years are not on a par with equality and diversity was shocking. I was bullied, forced into a corner, and told I had no rights and therefore could be thrown out following one complaint. I believe NHS hierarchy capitulated and were not prepared to tolerate having a chaplain on site who would not affirm what the Catholic Church teaches to be sin. There does not appear to be a place for Christian teaching or belief in the NHS. In a truly democratic society where all faiths and beliefs are respected, I would not have been treated as I was. I hope my case sends a message to the NHS that true equality and diversity includes Christian teaching and beliefs." Reverend Pulicino, a former consultant urologist, was also a whistleblower on the Liverpool Care Pathway scandal. In 2012, he raised the alarm over the abuses carried out under the Liverpool Care Pathway, an end-of-life protocol that often left dying patients without food or drink, and which was abolished 2 years later. The incident at the NHS hospital regarding his faith occurred in August 2019 when he was assigned to visit a male patient on one of the hospital's mental health wards who had specifically requested to see a Catholic chaplain. The patient requested that they go for a walk outside, which they did, accompanied by one other member of staff. During the encounter, which lasted around 20 minutes, the patient disclosed that he was in a same-sex relationship and that he wanted to marry his partner, which he said he couldn't now do legally. He asked Reverend Pulicino what his opinion was as a Catholic priest. He claims that he responded by saying, "What do you think God will say to you about this?" The patient then went on to say that his father had cut him off over his way of life. In a letter written in response to the patient's subsequent complaint, Vanessa Ford, the acting chief executive of South West London and St George's Mental Health NHS Trust, stated that its policy on equality and diversity takes precedence over religious belief. The letter also claimed that Reverend Pulicino had said to the patient that you should not be with your husband and that you would go to hell, which he vehemently denies. A spokesman from South West London and St George's Mental Health NHS Trust said, "Whilst we can't comment on active legal proceedings, we are absolutely committed to promoting equality, diversity and inclusion, EDI, for all our staff, patients and communities. We have an EDI policy which we actively promote and with which we expect all our staff members to comply. We respect and celebrate all the protected characteristics of our staff, patients and communities equally. We take seriously our responsibility to ensure patients' spiritual needs are met, and we oppose any form of discrimination. We seek to protect all of our patients and members of staff in line with the Equality Act 2010. An Iranian news website run by the Revolutionary Guards accused the British ambassador in Tehran of being behind the ongoing spate of apparent poisonings of schoolgirls in the country last Saturday. Over the last 3 months, hundreds of mainly female students have been hospitalized across several Iranian cities with symptoms including shortness of breath, nausea, and tingling extremities. Most have made a rapid recovery, but the number of reported incidents has increased sharply in the past week. It is not clear who or what is behind them, but the Iranian state has tried to point the finger at foreign enemies. On Saturday, Mashre News, an outlet run by the IRGC, wrote, "The British ambassador in Iran has been directly involved in the poisoning of girl students in our country as he follows the instructions of the Churchill Club, which is the secret British foreign policy that uses students in carrying out their terrorist operations in many different ways. It did not provide evidence for its claims." The Churchill Club is a reference to a group of Danish schoolboys who committed acts of sabotage against the occupying Germans during the Second World War. In December, Iranian activists online proposed setting up a modern-day equivalent called the Shikari Club, named after Mohsen Shikari, a 23-year-old who became the first known person to be executed for his role in the anti-hijab protests that swept the country. Mashre News added, "A review of the activities around the schools shows that the secret service of the enemy and its umbrella network is carrying out this project to test its effects in reigniting the street riots that have now subsided." The reports of poisonings have prompted a fresh crisis in Iran after months of protests sparked by the death in police custody of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, arrested for wearing a hijab incorrectly. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, last week called the school incidents an unforgivable crime. And Mohseni Ejei, a cleric and the country's chief judge, has hinted that once the culprits are arrested, they will be sentenced to death. Iran's deputy interior minister claimed on Friday that three young students who had confessed to throwing canisters into a school in Tehran had been arrested and later released after apologizing for their action. The Iranian opposition believes the state is behind the incidents and is using it to punish schoolgirls for their role in the recent protests. Ayatollah Khamenei has indirectly hinted that rogue religious elements inside the country may have done it, while on Saturday, Hosseini Salami, the commander of the Revolutionary Guards, blamed foreign enemies. Others have suggested it could be down to a mass hysteria or psychogenic illness. A former Jehovah's Witness and self-styled business coach has been confirmed as the gunman behind a shooting at Hamburg Church on Thursday that left six people dead and many more injured. German authorities have identified the man who stormed the Kingdom's Hall belonging to the religious group as Philip Fuß, a 35-year-old. They say that he left the congregation 18 months previously after a fallout with other members. Philip Fuß was a freelance consultant whose business website describes him as an expert in the finance and energy sectors. On the website, he offers exorbitantly priced consultancy for a daily fee of 250,000 euros, stating that the fee incorporates the fact that my work would generate you a leverage or value added of at least 2.5 million euros. According to his own account, Mr. Fuß grew up in a strictly religious household in the Alps before studying business in Munich. German authorities have ruled out a terrorist attack or any political motive. Police confirmed Mr. Fuß used a handgun in his attack that he had owned legally since December through his membership in a local gun club. They also stated that the city gun authority received an anonymous tip-off in January warning that Mr. Fuß was mentally unstable and that he harbored hatred for the Jehovah's Witnesses. But authorities who checked up on him last month did not take any further action after they found he kept his gun in a safe according to regulations and that he showed no other signs of being unstable. Germany has been left in shock by the crime, which is one of the deadliest in recent memory. The gunman attacked a Kingdom's Hall and shot dozens of people before police were able to stop him. Among the dead was a woman who was 7 months pregnant and her unborn child. Of the 50 people at the service, only 20 escaped unharmed. Almost every single member of the congregation has been affected by some way in this awful crime, said Michael Tisvaris, a spokesman for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Many of them are traumatized and now receiving the best possible therapy and support, he added. Olaf Scholz, the German Chancellor and inert native of the city, said that my thoughts are with the victims and their families and with the security forces who have endured a difficult mission. Hamburg authorities said that though through luck and the quick reactions of officers prevented a much greater tragedy. We can thank the police that many more people weren't killed. They were able to quickly separate the attacker from his victims and save many lives, Andy Grote, Hamburg's interior minister, told the press on Friday. A newly formed SWAT team trained to deal with gun attackers happened to be in the vicinity at the time and was able to reach the scene within minutes. After they entered the building, the attacker fled upstairs where he shot himself. Police found him lifeless with a handgun on the floor next to him. Police have described a night of unimaginable horror in which the attacker first shot wildly at a car outside the church before unloading magazines through the window of the building. Once inside, he continued to shoot down his victims, repeatedly pausing to reload his gun. Officers found 9 used magazines at the scene, as well as 20 more in a rucksack. In the initial confusion, police suspected that 2 gunmen were involved and 1 had fled the scene. The people of the city received warnings via an app on their phones to stay indoors, while police were deployed to other Jehovah's Witnesses buildings to make sure that they were secure. The crime is likely to stoke an ongoing debate around Germany's gun possession laws. At the beginning of this year, the government announced plans to tighten laws around semi-automatic weapons after prosecutors uncovered a surreal plot by a group of monarchists to storm the German parliament. As unlikely as the plot was to have succeeded, it was supported by former army officers and a gun trader. The Catholic Church is open to reviewing its thousand-year-old practice of celibacy, Pope Francis has suggested. He said the ban was only temporary and there was no contradiction for a priest to marry. Celibacy was made a requirement by the Catholic Church in the 11th century for financial reasons, as clergy without children were more likely to leave their wealth to the church. The Vatican enforces the rule among priests, but there are growing calls to end the ban. It comes after Germany's Catholic Church voted for a resolution requesting that the Pope end the obligation for priests to be celibate. In an interview with Argentine publication Infobae, Pope Francis, 86, said, "There is no contradiction for a priest to marry. Celibacy in the Western Church is a temporary prescription. It is not eternal like priestly ordination, which is forever whether you like it or not. On the other hand, celibacy is a discipline." The Pope also cited the example of the Eastern Church, a branch of Catholicism which allows more leeway, and said, "Everyone in the Eastern Church is married, or those who want to. Before ordination, there is a chance to marry or to be celibate." It marks a change from his position in 2019 when he suggested celibacy was a gift to the church and he didn't agree with allowing optional celibacy. In the interview, which is one of many to celebrate the 10th anniversary of his election as Pope, he also spoke about rising divorce rates and suggested young people were sometimes getting married too early. Pope Francis said, "Sometimes one goes to a wedding and it seems more like it's a social reception and not a sacrament. When young people say forever, who knows what they mean by forever?" And finally, Pastor Jamie's wife asked him what would stop the stairs from creaking so loudly, apparently replying going to Slimming World was not the right answer. He will be out of hospital soon.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.